You, Alice. You have your Bibles with you this morning. I hope you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And Miss Lott, we're glad to have you here today. We are glad to have you here. I'll look forward to getting to knowing you a little better in the activities building. Before I preach, I want to tell you that Sarah and I went to Bluffton this week to see our youngest daughter, our three grandchildren. And, grandchildren have a funny way of making you feel like a million bucks. We pulled up the driveway. They come running out of that house. And, "Big Daddy, where have you been?" I said, "What do y'all want? Because money is no object today." That was on Thursday. Yesterday, I was ready to come home. Okay. Listen as I read Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." The winter of 1623 was desperate times for those early pilgrim forefathers. They had come to this land in hopes of a new life, and what they found was hostile environment. They faced a bleak winter without adequate stores. However, though, they were anticipating a supply ship that would come and meet their needs. But when the ship arrived, there were no supplies, only 23 or 24 additional hungry mouths to feed. Wasn't long until there were more crosses in the cemetery than there were citizens in the log stockade. In fact, there were seven times as many graves as there were log cabins. Life hung by a thread. Finally, all the food ran out. They faced starvation. Governor Bradford broke into the storeroom where the seed corn was stored. That seed corn was the hope for future crops. He took the corn and rationed 5 grains of corn to each person per meal. So for more than a month, they lived on that. I don't have 5 grains of corn here this morning. But think of it for a moment. 5 grains of corn, that was your meal and a glass of cold water. That's all they had to eat for more than a month. But spring came. The fish started coming back into the waters. Game was in the forest. They made peace with the Indians. They found herbs and greens that they could cook and eat. They planted a crop. They faced a fall with a bountiful harvest. It was then that Governor Bradford established this Thanksgiving concept to give thanks to God for His abundance and His blessings. So as they gathered, the tables were heavily laden with food and beside each plate, as a reminder, he put 5 grains of corn, representing the blessings of God upon their lives. So it became a tradition as each person took the grains one by one, and they would say, "I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that," and they counted their blessings. Now, I don't know if we do that today. I don't know if we do it out loud. Hopefully we do it internally. But I suggest to you that 5 grains of corn might be an appropriate symbol to place beside your Thanksgiving plate this year, and just come to the conclusion that there are at least 5 things that God has showered upon me and upon my family and upon us and upon this church. So I let just symbolize with me these five grains of corn this morning that I'd like to bring to your attention that we all should be grateful for. And that first grain, I would say, is the flag that stands on my right, your left, a symbol of the freedoms that we have as Americans. Now, we look at it Sunday by Sunday, yet how many times do you really notice it? In fact, for many Sundays, it's been in the back. Most of us didn't notice it at all. How often do we say, thank God that I live under that flag? On the first Tuesday of this month, November the 7th, something very significant happened in this country. Now, it wasn't a major presidential or senator, at least it wasn't in our state, election year. But across this country, people went to the polls, and in a ballot box, they voted on a system of government. They voted on governors, it may be senators, it may be congressmen. We elected our leaders in a free election. We chose the party and we chose the people that we wanted to lead our government. Do you realize that in more than half the countries of the world today, they are not free to choose the government that rules them? We are. But there was even a greater miracle on Tuesday, because as the votes were counted, it was discovered that in some states the opposition party won, and that the person who was in charge was voted out and a new person was voted in. One party was voted out and another party was voted in. And the miracle and the blessing was nobody was assassinated, neither did a military coup come in and capture the government and imprison those who won the election or those who were going out, as happens in some countries. Yet today, in more than 30 countries of the world, a military dictator rules, having taken the government by force from those that had been in power. Do you realize in America today there are no political prisoners filling our prisons today? Yet in Russia and Egypt and Syria and Iran, for example, anyone who's on the other side, anyone who speaks out, whether it's an editor or a political leader who speaks at a rally, anyone who takes another position, they're either killed or they're imprisoned. You might speak out, but you won't speak out for long. It's a blessing for us that we live in the land of the free, where might does not make right. We live without fear. We live without coercion or force. We express our political views and ideologies without fear of reprisal. You may not like it. You may wish sometimes there are those that would shut up, but they have that freedom. More than 2/3 of the people of this earth today are denied that basic principle. They live under a totalitarian regime where the basic right is denied to the common citizen. Look at our personal freedoms that we share under this flag and the Constitution. When you leave this service and you go home today, you cross that boundary that marks your property. You step into your castle. You are the king and queen of that castle, and no officer of the law can step into your house and seize or take your property. Yet millions today live in fear that when they go to bed at night, they may not wake up in that bed in the morning. At midnight, there may be a knock at the door of the secret of the police or the military who will break down the door, come in and seize a family member, take them away to an unknown destiny, either to death immediately, or they will languish in prison without charges being laid against them. No warrants, no legal procedures whatsoever. We just take that for granted. If we're arrested and accused of a crime, we have the right to counsel. We have the right to bail, and there cannot be excessive bail levied against us. I cannot be compelled to witness against myself, and my wife cannot be compelled to witness against me. The government cannot seize my property or house troops on my property without compensation, and then and only then it has to be in a time of war. Again, I say 2/3 of the people on the face of the earth do not have those common liberties that we take for granted every day. Thank God for the liberty we have under the flag and the American system of government. You know, people got all up in the air here several years ago when athletes started expressing themselves, saying, well, we won't stand for the national anthem, we'll kneel, whether it was football or baseball or basketball or soccer or whatever it was. That was their right. They had the right to do it. I may not have agreed with it, but they had the right to do it. But at the same time, I had the right to turn the TV off, and I didn't have to watch it. But none of them probably served in the armed forces either. None of them went to Vietnam. None of them went to Iraq. There's another kernel of corn we ought to look at here. I look up and see the sound system this morning. We take for granted that technology, symbol of affluence, scientific advancement, applied technology. My gosh, today if people don't have a cell phone, they go into convulsions and dry heaves. I guess it's a blessing, I don't know. But I watched a football game yesterday on TV, and I watched it along with millions of other people. I got as much out of that game as the wealthiest man in America got. I saw the same thing he saw. They don't have one channel for the rich and another one for the common man. They don't have a program of stars and talent for the specially privileged people. I'm able to enjoy all the benefits of life that even the wealthiest people in the world can have. I drive down the same roads. I cross over the same bridges. I can go to the same grocery stores. I can travel on the same airplane. Do you know that only 1 out of every 100 people in the world enjoy that standard of living? You and I have that as Americans. We are blessed. The same thing applies in medical technology. Many of you did like I several years ago, and we do it again this year. You know, when the COVID vaccine came out, we got in line to take that shot. You know, we felt like we needed it. We may still feel that way. Thousands of people are immunized against the swine flu, against COVID, you know, because we don't want the possibility of another epidemic coming here. And yet, during this next year, and already in this year, there are millions of people around the world who will die from the lack of a simple vaccine. They neither have the resources nor the technology. They don't even have a way of getting it. I remember preaching in South Africa years ago, where 7 or 8 Indian villages were located around this lake. And the missionary told me of their primitive conditions and needs. He said, "Keithan," Paul Stauffer was a missionary. He said, "Keithan, there's 150,000 people that live around this lake. There's not one single doctor. There's not one registered nurse. There's not even a registered pharmacist. The only medication they know is a witch doctor." So the question comes to mind this morning, why did God let me and you be born in America and live in America under the freedoms that we have, with hospitals and medicine and doctors, with skills and knowledge, instead of living down in South America or South Africa? That's another of the blessings I put beside my plate. Thank God for the affluence and blessings of the scientific 21st century technology. And then I can pull from my pocket a very common object that you all know about. It's called money. $50. Put it back in my pocket. Around here, $50 won't go far. That money can symbolize my work. It can symbolize my job. The privilege I have, first of all, in choosing the work that I want to do. You know, I feel that God called me to Christian ministry. I choose to be a minister of the gospel. But you feel you have the right to choose the path you want to take and the job that you want to perform. Do you realize that more than half the people of this world don't have the choice to do the job they want to do? The very basis of communism is the idea that the state selects and they choose and they determine what you will do. You don't have a choice. I remember one time a Korean pastor was speaking to us, and he said, "Our young people don't choose what they want to be in life. They take an aptitude test. And the authorities decide how they can best serve the state and how they can best serve the party. We choose you if we want you to be a doctor. We choose you if we want you to work in a steel mill. We choose you if we want you to be a farmer." And that's what they have to do. Human rights are secondary to the rights of the state. But not only do I have the right to choose what I want to do in my work, but I also have the right to earn what I can in a free enterprise system. That is denied to millions of people in the world. I heard another story at one of our CBF annual meetings when it was down in South Florida. We were meeting at the Central Baptist Church there. Don't remember the pastor, but I remember him telling the story about one of the men in his church who grew up poor, didn't have a whole lot, and he had become very wealthy. He owned a chain of restaurants, but it didn't start that way for him. He had to work for it. And when he was younger, he went to a supermarket manager, I suppose, and he said, "I want to work." And the manager said, "Well, I don't have a job for you." He said, "I'm not looking for a job. I just want to work." He said, "I'm willing to come in here and work. I'll find something to do. And if I could find something to do after 1 week and you think I'm worthy of doing it and I'm accomplishing something, then hire me. But if not, you don't have to pay me and I'll go someplace else and find something else." Listen, we need that kind of spirit in our society today. I want to work. I just want a chance. Open the door and I'll take my place. And then the Bible that I hold, the Bible that you hold, the Bible that I preach from, the Bible that you read from, a common object that we're all so familiar with. We carry it. We have it in our homes. We have it by our bedside. We have it on the dining room table. What a blessing it is to have it. But do you realize that in many parts of the world today, that it is a forbidden book? In many countries today, it is a cherished book, though it's not illegal necessarily to own one in some countries, but it is illegal to bring a Bible into these countries because they're not going to print them. For example, when we went to South America back in 1990, I remember down there, and we took computers and different things and from North Carolina, and I remember that any time we were preaching, any time we were teaching, any time that we were reading Scripture, any time we were quoting Scripture, they were writing it down. And I remember the missionary said, "They don't have a Bible, but they are building a Bible. Whenever you quote a scripture verse, say it slow. Give them the chapter. Give them the book. Give them the verse. They're not printed here. They can't be brought in. So anything, if you're teaching, they're building study literature. If you're doing Sunday school, they're building Sunday school lessons. They're always writing down everything they hear. And here we take the Bible so for granted." Back in March of last year, some of us went down to Little Okmulgee State Park to play golf for 2 or 3 days. And I remember even there, even in that state park, in the bedside table, was a Gideon Bible. And a note that said, "If you don't own a Bible, please take this one." What a blessing. If we could send thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles to people all around the world, and there are agencies that are doing that. I thank God that I live in a country where I have religious tradition and religious heritage that not only says that I can have a Bible, but that it is an open Bible and that I can read it anywhere, any place, any time. And I am a priest before God, and I can come to God and read His Word and speak to Him, and Him talk to me and me talk to Him. That is a privilege. That is a blessing that we have. And then from my perspective and where I'm standing and where the choir is sitting, I look to the stained glass window in the balcony overlooking Vineville Avenue, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's what makes all the difference. That's the greatest blessing we have, that my Lord and my Savior, who came to this earth and lived and taught by example, went to Calvary and died on the cross, paid the penalty for my sins and your sins, and said that where I am, you can be also. I have a home prepared for you, a son of God. That's the greatest blessing I have in this Thanksgiving season. 5 grains of corn. Let's thank God for these blessings that come our way because of the freedoms we have living in a country that is as great as America. Father, remind us. Help us to see the blessings around us. Help us to be a praiser of the good and not a complainer looking for bad. Help us to know that you're always there, that when we gripe and when we complain about our problems and our trials, to remember that you're still at work in our lives and you're there through all of our troubles. We love you so much and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.